It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's adventurous, roaming, etc. reporter. Ruth, what's going on out there?
Well, let's start over in Goshen at the League of Women Voters annual legislative breakfast on Saturday morning. And it was attended by six local legislators and two of ours from this region, Maria Horn and Stephen Harding, our representative and senator, respectively. It was interesting, always interesting to hear what these folks say. And it was a good turnout, mostly people from the Litchfield Bantam area, but we did have some locals. A lot of the conversation was devoted to elections and voting. It started off with someone asking how each of them felt, whether they felt elections could be canceled in November, because that's been a talk on the national level. And they all said that would be insane. That was one thing they all agreed on, that, you know, there will be a November election, and it would be nonsensical to talk about that anything else. They also discussed, but some of the changes that need to be made. A lot of talk about the 14-day early voting process and how that could be reduced with, as we know, you know, people have talked about the low turnout and therefore the cost per vote, which is pretty high. The fellow from John Piscopo said in Thomaston, it was $1,600 per vote was registered for the last election. And I think that's pretty common number for most towns, or even more. And so, as I say, a lot of the talk focused on voting, and then it sort of switched to healthcare, cuts in Medicaid and SNAP, and how those are federal programs, but it does fall to the states if those funds are cut. The funding would affect states and therefore towns. Jay Case was from the Winston area. Spoke passionately about the need to pay professional people who care for the most vulnerable in nursing homes and group homes. There was a fellow who runs the group home in the audience, and he just said, we can't staff, we don't have the money. Jay said that is his number one priority. He works very hard in that area. So all in all, I thought it was a good session. They disagreed on some things, agreed on others, but it was very cordial. And Mike, it was at this camp we talked about in Goshen that we weren't sure.
I was going to ask you where you were.
Camp Cacciapiani. And it's
right. That's a mouthful.
It was a mouthful, but it's an old Boy Scout camp that the town of Goshen bought. So they use it for town functions. I think said they even vote there. I'm not sure.
Wow.
I can't say for sure, but it's a beautiful site. And I got there with no problem, which is sometimes rare. And so that was Saturday morning. Earlier last week, I went up to Sharon to the Audubon Center, where there was a talk. Fellow from Dark Sky, Connecticut spoke, his name is Leo Smith, and he came from way across the other side of the state to talk about light pollution and what it does to, you know, the sky, and what it does to properties. And he pushed very strongly for using sensors and not putting as much light out there as people think they need. He said Connecticut, the road signs on the Connecticut highways are very well lit up. They could be reduced during the late hours of the morning when there's very little traffic. He talked about the effect of light pollution on human health as well as wildlife, and talked about the birds and how they're affected. It really was quite an interesting talk, and lots of questions from people. Again, it was a well-attended session, and this is part of Audubon's they call it education program. They do four in a session, and this was the first for this foursome, and the next one is going to be in March, when they're going to talk about the topic is tick-borne illnesses, and a local doctor will be there. So those programs, as always with Audubon, are good and free and very informative. So
On the Dark Skies, did they have a lot of back and forth with the audience, or do they do anything like that? Because I know every time it comes up, there's public safety issues. There's a lot of things that play around the Dark Skies movement, if you will.
oh yes, there were lots of interaction with the audience, and as he said, these developers come in, when developers come in, zoning often says, you have to have so much lighting. And he said sometimes they're just the commissions and are just unaware that you don't need as much. And there are ways to shield the light to make it go down instead of, all the way up into your neighbor's windows. And yes, there was a lot of talk about the need to maybe, well, obviously the need to make people aware and how those things could be remedied.
Did he say anything about the vibration of the vibration, the color of LED light, for example? How we all had to get LED bulbs and this and this and this because they were better, except that the frequency that they vibrate to make the quote better is just deleterious to human health, bird health, wild, like out, it's horrible. So I just wondered if that was,
Talked a
sorry, that was.
little, not about vibration, talked about blue lights and, those lights that come at you from
Oh, for heaven's
all
sake.
your screens, yeah, your
Yeah,
computers, your
and your
TVs,
cell phones.
everything.
And yeah, he said those are really deleterious. And there are so many ways that things could be reduced, but people are just unaware. And now that I think about it, when you talk about these subdivisions going in, I mean, you have to have so much lighting for public safety, but yet there are other factors that need to be taken into
Yeah,
consideration.
more of what I was referring to a little bit ago was like in parking lots outside of school
Exactly,
buildings and
exactly.
malls and stuff. You really need to be conscious of safety levels, and I can understand the want, the desire to cut down that light going upwards. But there again, too, if you've ever priced out some of this stuff, like everything else, it's so ridiculously expensive when you
Yeah.
move in that direction. If anything, somehow they need to figure out how they get the prices down on that, because I think that is really a large impediment to it. And again, as I say, in parking lots and stuff where you really need to have a good light shed for public safety.
Oh, I would just, add my usual snarky. I'm pretty sure they all thought about how much it was going to cost and then said, well, yeah, sorry, you got to do it. Because that seems to be a common denominator with everything. You name it, that's a common denominator.
Yeah, that's true. That's all comes back to money.
But also, these are the rules. This is how much you have to spend. Oh, sorry, we raised the price. But these are the rules,
Well,
and this is
yeah,
what.
like the marketplace,
Oh,
you have
sorry. It's the
when
price. It is an ongoing. I'm getting up there in chronological age, and I believe that I have heard this for decades. It's the same thing. Got to have this. These are the rules. Oh yeah, it's going to cost X more. Like I said, my that's my weekly commentary. I'll go away now.
Well, it's an awareness, and I thought it was a good program to raise awareness. Of
Oh,
course,
yeah.
people in the audience, most folks who come to Audubon talks are, environmentally interested, and so
Right,
this is,
they have an EQ, an environmental quotient. Our
yeah.
job, actually, bluntly, all kidding aside, is to get this information out to other people who probably just, bluntly haven't thought about it. Why would they think about it?
Right.
And
No, that's exactly.
that is the way to actually affect change, not me
Well, that's why
starting.
we're here.
Yeah, no,
Right,
and it's
that's
great
what
to
we're
get
doing.
that education. There's no doubt about it. It's just that
Yeah.
there are some things that are difficult to implement because of either cost or, as I say, public safety issues. So
Yeah,
somehow that
well,
needs to all work itself out. But I
there's a
know that this has been going on dark skies for what I'm sure at least 2 decades now since they started talking about these programs, and they've turned out to be effective in a lot of the parts of the country. But again, you have to reach certain compromises on it to make it happen. And of course, as you said, the LEDs coming in, LEDs are being used. Why? Because it's so much cheaper to operate.
All I could think of is I'm sitting there, and I walked outside and you could look up and see the stars because
Yes.
Sharon, we're lucky enough to do that. But going into Manhattan or something, I mean, talk about light pollution. You just couldn't, you can't see anything. So,
Well, even over the, and I was always amazed about this because I've got some decent stars up here as well. And I hope everybody had a look or at least attempted to see the planetary parade. But that being said, if you face on Music Mountain towards Hartford, for example, you can see, I mean, the you can see the lights, it at night. You could, the reflected light from everything. So it's not just hard, it's pretty prevalent is what I'm trying to say. The light, the ambient. Mike, what's it called? It's called the reflective. That's it. The reflective light is pretty far-reaching.
Yeah. Let's return to Kent for the meeting of the newly constituted Swift House Committee, Commission, Committee, Committee. You
Swift
know,
House. Swift House is what?
the Swift House is a historic, well, I don't know, old building. It's old.
Okay.
It dates back to the
Well, I wasn't
70s.
sure. Swift, is Swift an acronym for something? I guess that's a
No, it's
better
a
way to
name
ask
of
the
a
question.
family. As a
Okay.
matter of fact, and I just learned this, Taylor Swift is a descendant of one of the Swift.
Oh, goodness
So
gracious.
they're playing up on that one.
Okay, because there's so many acronyms.
I thought you were going to say Jonathan Swift.
Yeah,
Okay.
so
Yeah,
many
no.
acronyms these days. Every time I hear things linked like you did, I'm thinking, well, that's got to mean something with lots of words in it.
No, this is a family, and it's a house that sits in the center of town. It's been of controversial nature for years and years as to what to do with it. It's old. It needs it's owned by the town now, and in order to comply, it needs a ton of work to make it ADA.
They have plans of how they want to use it.
Well, that's the issue.
Okay.
So they've had many committees. This is the newest one. They've said they got the Board of Selectmen said you have to get some figures and decide because we've got to talk about it in the budget. So they in the past they had a task force. They did a those members did a survey and they did a got an architectural estimate and it would cost more than $2 million to bring it up to speed. So
Ouch.
obviously, you have two factions here: those who want to preserve it, get it on the National Registry, and those who say let's sell it because it's it could, don't want to put all that money into it. And what could we use it for? But it's got, small rooms and it's an old house. So this new committee met the other night, and the first thing we heard from Marge Smith from the Historical Society is that somebody's interested in buying it, a local attorney, and willing to keep it, given easement to preserve it, so it, a conservation easement. And so that was a pretty interesting factor. So there was a lot of discussion, and they're going to continue. They're on a timeline, but they're going to ask this man to come in and discuss it and see if this might be a solution, but we don't know.
Yeah,
So
well, you
it's
got to strike
interesting.
while the iron is hot.
Yeah. Well, it just came out of, I thought, nowhere. I thought it was interesting.
That happens
And
all the time.
yeah.
Well, it's happening. I'm going to add it to the list of things that we thought were going one way, and then it came out of nowhere. So that's a good
Right.
thing.
Honey
Yeah.
Hill over there in North Canaan. Yeah, that was
Yeah,
one.
exactly. That's
That
exactly it.
sudden moment, you have the opportunity. I remember this happened back when they were speccing out for the Salisbury Sharon transfer station at the site where it exists. There were like three times in the process of trying to decide where to put it that new things suddenly came up, and this offer here and that offer there. It has a way of happening.
Yeah. Well, this one we'll be following. We'll see what happens. And if you've been in Kent, if anybody has ridden through lately, we have in the center of town a 20-foot high snowman that was put up by a couple of residents, and it's in honor of Robbie Kennedy, who was a beloved citizen who passed away last month. And so there's been a huge outpouring of support for him. He was a young man who, well, he looked young. But he rode his bike everywhere, and everybody knew Robbie. He waved to everybody. He was, as I say, was beloved, and he was made an assistant football coach at Kent School. He was made the fire department made him an honorary member. Just one of those central figures. So these folks got together and put up this snowman. It has his bicycle leaning against him. I mean, it's right in the center of town. It has become a real focal point. People are taking photographs. It's been on TV. And anybody who goes through Kent really come and see it. It's really, really something. So it's a very nice tribute. So that about, we have some meetings. There were meetings last night, Region 1 Board of Education, the Canaan Board of Selectmen. We've got to follow up on those meetings. And looking ahead, hopefully, oh, we have daylight savings ending this weekend.
Yuck,
Spring is
yuck.
coming.
I hate the time changes.
Well, hopefully, there's rumor that this is the final one. I am
I hope so.
standing there with my fingers crossed and my hands toward, please make this the final one. It's okay.
Well,
Sorry.
I hope the weather holds so that snowman stays
I'm
intact for a
just
period of
foreseeing
time. Yeah,
that.
I'm thinking all of a sudden, as you're saying, it's been built and now the weather's going to start to warm up. But a big
Right.
balls like that should stay intact, and hopefully it stands there for weeks to come. Would be
It
nice.
really is amazingly, yeah. As
Yeah,
I
and
say, yeah, it's been a real central point of town, and in more ways than one, because of who it's in honor of and the fact that it's so big.
oh, yeah, and the folks that endeavored to build
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
no small feat in itself.
No, they said they started out and let's build this, and it's right across the street from his brother's house, so they wanted the family to be able to see it when they looked out their window. And he said it just got bigger and bigger as we went along, and there he is. I mean, he's huge. So
Oh, that's great.
all right. Well, on that high note, I think it's time for Jill to take us on out the back door, please.
Stop saying the back door.
Side door?
Seriously. Let's feel ouch. Thank you, Ruth. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth. Robin Hood Radio is rambling, roving, adventurous, and exciting. I'm going to add that. Plus intrepid. Reporter on Robin Hood Radio.